So Far From Home, The Diary of Mary Driscoll, An Irish Mill Girl by Barry Denenberg, pages 126 to 140. Saturday, October 2nd, 1847, Lowell. Kate came for a chat. Bless the day, she only stayed a wee minute. She was finding out if Aunt Nora knew any love potions. Wouldn't you know, she did. Much good, Aunt Nora said, could come from the sprinkling water that has washed a child's feet outside your door. Twas just what Kate was after. Having what she came for, she got up to leave. Aunt Nora asked her if she was planning to marry. Kate said she might be, and left as suddenly as she came. Sunday, October 3rd, 1847, Lowell. I told Annie about Kate and the love potions. Annie asked if I wanted to marry. I am too young, I told her. When you are old enough, would you choose to then? Marriage is fine if you're rich, like Mrs. Abbott. If you're not rich, what do you have to look forward to? Hoping your husband will provide? 'Tisn't enough for me, I told her. Annie said 'twould be a shame if a pretty girl like me never marries. When I asked if Annie would marry, she said she is a restless spirit. She would like to be on her own for a while, to live where she wants to and go where she pleases. She doesn't think you can do that if you're married. But then she said, when I've had my fill, I'll find my true love and live happily ever after. It sounded like one of those books Annie gets from the library. And what will your true love be like, dear Annie, I asked. She grabbed my shoulders with both of her hands and said, why, just like Mr. Fowler, of course. We went to laughing so hard that we fell down on top of each other and rolled in the freshly fallen snow. Tuesday, October 5th, 1847, Lowell. Laura Austin fears her name is on the list because she was Tuesday, October 5th, 1847, Lowell. Laura Austin fears her name is on the list because she was handing out a labor newspaper. There is a list of girls who the corporation thinks are troublemakers. If you are dismissed, they send the list to the other mills in the area. That way you can't find work and cause more trouble. Laura was one of the girls in the turnout last year when they were striking for a 10-hour day. They got more time for their meals, but 'twas all. Laura said they all signed the petition, but it came to nothing. The corporation won. Laura said, just like it always does. When Laura first came to Lowell 6 years ago, the girls stood by one another. Then, she said, no girl tended more than 2 looms. There was time to sit and rest. Now, she says, some girls tend 4 or 5 machines. The corporation speed up the machines and slow down the clock so we work longer and get paid less. 'Twould be nice to work only 10 hours, I can only imagine. Still, if truth be told, I am glad not to have to sign anything for myself. I would sign. I have nothing to fear, but I have Ma and Dot to think about. When I have enough money for their passage, when they are here beside me, then I can think of such things, but not now. That is not what I came to America for. Friday, October 8th, 1847, Lowell. Ma and Dot will not be coming. Something's terribly wrong. I just knew it. Aunt Nora is always so cheerful, humming a tune, like more likely than not, but she was sitting at the table, quiet, resting her head in one hand and holding a letter in the other. When she looked up, I could see that she had been crying. 'Twas like the light had left her eyes. She didn't want me to read the letter. She said there was no need. 'Twas from Father Maloney. He said little, only what was needed, that they are gone. I feel lost. I should never have left Ireland. Never. Saturday, October 9th, 1847, Lowell. Mrs. Buckley and Fiona visited. Later, Annie came. 'Twas kind of her. She brought me chocolate and raisins. She worried when I wasn't in the mills, and then, last night, Aunt Nora went to Mrs. Jackson's to tell her, dear Aunt Nora, now she was gone to talk to Kate. Sunday, October 10th, 1847, Lowell. Annie and Laura came. They are so dear to take the time. My cough has worsened, but 'tis best I return to work on Monday. There is nothing for me to do here. Staying in bed does no good. I think too much about Ma and Da. Last night, Aunt Nora held me and rocked me back and forth, singing Ma's lullaby. On the wings of the wind, over the dark rolling deep, angels are coming to watch over thy sleep. Angels are coming to watch over thee, So list to the wind coming over the sea. Writing down the words helps to calm me, for I can hear Ma's voice when I see the words on the page. If only Ma could hold me one last time. I cried so long and so hard that I cried myself to sleep. Monday, October 11th, 1847. Lowell. I do my work. It helps me pass the time. Knowing Annie is near also helps. Thursday, October 14th, 1847. Lowell. I look out the mill windows and wonder just how far Ireland is from where I am. It seems 'twas only yesterday Ma said I would be going to America. Now it feels like so very long ago, beyond my memory's reach, like 'twasn't even me. If Mrs. Delaney doesn't stop staring at me soon, I'll go mad. John is returning next week. Friday, October 15th, 1847, Lowell. Laura Austin said her name is on the list. One of the girls saw it. There is a check next to her name. Then it says, Willful. Monday, October 18th, 1847, Lowell. The oil lamps were lit this morning and again this evening so that we could work in the dark. Many of the girls complain. They don't like the foul smell and they don't like being forced to work by lamplight. Wednesday, October 20th, 1847, Lowell. I am worn. Standing all day has caused my feet to ache terribly. Nothing relieves the pain. Weariness has crept into my bones, and my eyes feel as if they will burst from my head, thanks to the endless noise. The lint flies everywhere, breathing itself is a burden. At night, my chest heaves painfully. I wake as tired as when I lay down. Thursday, October 28th, 1847, Lowell. The trees are bare and covered with last night's snowfall. 'Tis windy and icy. I walk carefully so as not to fall. Aunt Nora stuffed paper into the toes of my boots to help keep me warm. She reminded me to leave them in front of the fireplace when they are wet, so they will be dry in the morning. 'Tis a chill I caught from the hot spinning room into the cold night air. Aunt Nora rubbed my hands before we went to sleep. God save the poor, she said when she was done. 'Tis dark in the morning when I leave, and dark when I return. I hardly see the sun. It makes me gloomy. Monday, November 1st, 1847, Lowell. I stirred the fire carefully before I slept. I was feeling poorly last night. My cough disturbs my sleep. When I awoke, the fire had gone out. Aunt Nora had to send John Delaney to Mrs. Buckley's for some live coals. Saturday, November 6, 1847, Lowell. I have read Mr. Quinn's letter over and over. I'm pasting it here so I will never forget it. Dear Mary Driscoll, 'tis my unpleasant task to inform you of the sorrowful events that have recently taken place. There has been much tension in the air. The Yankees seem to dislike we Irish more with each passing week. On Monday past, a mob angered by rumors that Irish lads had treated an American flag rudely, formed in the streets of Arlington. Arlington, as you knew, is the location, the convent to which Alice O'Donnell has been entrusted. By nightfall, the unruly mob was headed for the Irish district. They attacked homes and churches, destroying everything in their path. Many on both sides were bleeding and wounded. The melee continued for 2 days and 2 nights, and grew more deadly with each passing hour. As darkness fell on the second night, the mob, having no regard for either man or God, made for the convent. During the 2 days of rioting, word spread to nearby Somerville, where my nephew Sean was working. Fearing for Alice O'Donnell's safety, he made his way to Arlington. There he joined with the others who were working to restore order. He helped evacuate the convent and saw to it that Alice was in safe hands. He then returned to the convent. The mob had set fire to the now empty building, which was soon engulfed in flames. Although, thank the Lord, none of the children were hurt, Sean and three other Irish lads have been charged as accessories to murder because two of the Yankees died from head wounds received during the rock-throwing riot. Sean protested that he was not in Arlington at the time of the violence. He was still in Somerville, but his words fell on deaf ears, as you might imagine. I am presently occupied with trying to raise the bail money necessary to free Sean from his jail cell, where he awaits trial. The amount is quite steep, and although I am, of course, taking all necessary steps, I cannot say that I am hopeful. I am proceeding as quickly as possible, for there is grave talk here that the boys will not be allowed to live long enough to stand trial. Alice is with us now. She is sleeping near me as I write. She will, of course, remain here as long as necessary, so have no fear in that regard. What the result of all this will be, only heaven knows. The Lord will, I am certain, reward the good and condemn the evil to unceasing flames. Respectfully, Patrick Quinn. I ran all the way to Annie's. 'Twas cold, and the snow was blowing in my face, making it hard to breathe. I hadn't given a moment's thought to what I would do if Annie wasn't there. Thankfully, Mrs. Jackson let me go right up. Annie was writing in one of her books, and Laura lay beside her, chatting away. I was glad, too, that Laura was there. They saw on my face that something was terribly wrong, and Laura made room for me on the wee bed. I told them all about Mr. Quinn, all that Mr. Quinn had written, and my plan. Laura said nothing, but Annie said right out she wouldn't let me go. I had to think of myself first, she said. Not Sean or Alice O'Donnell. She said she is sure Mr. Quinn will see to Alice's safety. Maybe so, maybe not. And what if Sean, I asked her. What would I do? Just let him sit in jail? Wait till Mr. Quinn writes me again? The time to tell me how the Yankees dragged him into the street and beat him to death just because he is Irish? I cannot see with anyone's eyes but my own. I must go to Boston. I must take the money I put aside for Ma and Dot and bring it to Sean. Suddenly, Laura broke her silence. I'll go with you, she said. I could hardly believe my ears. 'Tis just a matter of time before I am dismissed. And I have always wanted to see Boston, and now, she said, I will. Annie looked shaken by this turn. She asked me if I had told Aunt Nora. I think she hoped Aunt Nora would be able to stop me. I haven't told her because, truth be told, I am afraid she will not approve, but I am going whether she approves or not. Sunday, November 7th, 1847, Lowell. I told Aunt Nora I would only take my pay, but she said to take it all. With the Delaney's board and her own wages, she will have enough. She hugged me, and then Annie and Laura started to cry. 'Twas a sight. Annie said we'd best be leaving for the depot. They waited outside while I said one more goodbye to Aunt Nora. Quiet one, she said. Always remember one thing. The Lord will never close one gate without opening another. The same as Ma said when I left home to come to America. 'Tis true, I hope.